So at the beginning of the year, we opened our series on the role of the lady in Pesach with what every time I read it, the article just gets better. An article by Shana and Judah. For those of you listening, recording Shana and Judah Goldberg, but you all knew that because we love them. From the Orthodox Forum a few years ago in Balabayit Centered Halachic Consultation. So, if you remember, and we'll come back to some of the issues there, the model that they used to argue for the importance of what they call Balabayit Centered Halachic Consultation, or because it was mostly Shana talking about experiences, you had said towards the end of the article, what, Balabusta Halachic? I think it's something like that. I think towards the end of the article. What? Whatever. But the Yiddish is Balabasta. I'm pretty sure that's what she called it. And it can look... whatever. Not important. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Yes, Balabasta Center Halakha Consultation. There you go. So I figured what we would do is... And we'll, you know, we'll... As it comes up, the arguments she made there, we'll take it from the opera's perspective. And, you know, Yotzot Halakha are a new phenomenon. But let's see. A tshuva by Reb Rabinovich, who is... Rashiv Malat Umim, one of the... What? I did not either. He's 88. Shechel Yom Tovim Aruchem Rabinovich, the Rashiv Malat Umim, and is a very important person in the Dati Lumi world. From what I heard, he was the one who calmed Moshe down yesterday, that they were using a microphone, because if he says something, then no one says... No one can argue. Yeah. Kach Shamati, that Ramosha wasn't thrilled with it. He still wasn't thrilled with it, but it was Rabinovich's psak. So. Yes, apparently he doesn't like it, but Rabinovich said it was under his psak. So Ramosha had his own minion, but whatever. But at least he couldn't do anything about it. Whatever. Rabinovich is a very serious posek. Often an outlier in some things. But he has a savior of tshuvas called Tziach Nachum. So he has a tshuva there about Yotzot Halacha. So let's read through it. See from the perspective of a posek what he takes into account. You'll see that it deals with some of the issues that we've dealt with this year. You'll see that his derech ha'psak is really very very pashtani. Like there's no like weird. Like sometimes he has kedusha, but like he doesn't. He's pretty straightforward. Like Gemara basically shown him. He's a very very straightforward posek. And we'll see what he says, and you'll see that it'll touch on some of the issues that we've talked about. And you know, for you guys, you know that I am biased. You know, if you ask me whether I support the institution, obviously the answer is yes. You know, my wife will finish the program in like 2 months from now or so. What? Actually, just in time, right before we have a baby, right? That's going to be exciting. We're just you know, her chavrusa is due this week, and she's due then. It'll be very exciting. They're in chazara mode now.
That was very well planned.
No, it's been done before. What's her name? The Yotzed in Tinek, Shoshana Samuels. She apparently also she. Had a baby, did the bechina, and moved in the course of like 2 weeks. So, like, yeah, it happens. But you guys know that. Okay. So this is a tshuva in Siach Nachum. I can't promise it's the exact same as it appears in Siach Nachum, but this is the version that's available on their website, so I don't have to copy it from the tshuva zeva itself, but it appears also in the actual printed Siach Nachum. Okay? Fine. So, Bizmana Acharon Niftachu. Miskarot, Misudarot, Bahen, Echilu, Rabbanim, Lamed, Nashim, Limudim, Makifim, Bilchot, Nigda. Recently, frameworks have been set up where rabbis have started to teach women give them extensive knowledge in Hilchos Nida, Bahen, Afnif, Chanor, Alehen, and they also get tested. Tell me about it. Their Bechina is more intense than any Bechina I've ever taken. It's a 4-hour oral Bechina with an hour with each of the four Poskim, who give it, 1 hour with Rav Shlomo Levy, I would die. What 1 hour with Rav Henkin, I would die. 1 hour with Rav Damari, who's the Taimani Posek in Rosal Nehemiah's Bezdin, and who's the fourth? Lo Zachor Li. someone else. Yeah. Anyways, so they have a 4-hour oral bechina on it. I'll add in details as we go along here. In addition, they don't just learn halacha, but they learn realia. Right? They learn the medical background and the psychological issues that are involved. Right? It suffices for me to point out that we've discussed this extensively, that psak, as opposed to lamdus, is the interface between theoretical halacha and reality. I need say no more why this is important. I understand that not everyone understands that, but in psak that should be obvious. Nashim eila mishamshod me'en yotzot halacha. Right, so they act as yotzot halacha, halachic advisors, l'nashim arotzot lefanot alehen kiktovet rishona kedei ladrichan. And as for women who want to who turn to them as their first address to guide them. Some of them also get training in Marot from Rabbanim, or at the moment they really get it from Noah Lau, Rabbi Bini Lau's wife, who is the Shoal de Meshiva. She gets apparently 3 to 5 Marot a day, which is for anyone who knows anything about Maros, a tremendous amount. I've done Shemot with 2 Rabbanim Chashuvim in this country and in America. Neither of them had 3 to 5 a day. I did it with Rav Schreiber. I did Shemot with Rav Schreiber, who is answers a lot of Nidah Shailas, and he does not get that many. And by Rabbi Schwartz, who is the rabbi of Mount Sinai, which is a young, married and single shul, but still a lot of young married. He doesn't get 3 to 5 a day. That's a lot. So now the question was asked. So can a woman paskin on Mara? Okay. So, tshuva. Hagmara matziya she'ila. So now, this is Gemara you should remember. Neither daf chaf mabes. Gemara says the following. Ibayelahu. If a woman comes and says this posek said that this color that I'm showing you now is tahor, what's the halacha? Pirush Rashi, Mao shetismach alei chaversha shirata dam alazo, Ramla kedamza shelcha ireti gam ani leponi chacham v'tiher. Right? Can we rely on a case where a woman looks and says, "Look, I've seen this blood before. This posig, I brought this shilat before someone before, and he said it was tar." And the Gemara answers, "V'tziu lifsho tashma ne'emenet isha lomar kazera iti uvi'ibadtiv." We believe a woman to say, "I've seen this. I saw this color." Right? She'll point to a color on a color chart, let's say, and I lost it. Vidachu, so doesn't that prove that she's believed? The Gemara says vidachu shiny adam deleta lekama. No, maybe that's only when we don't have it in front of us. But maybe lechatchila you would say that we wouldn't rely on the woman, right? If the blood was here, and we would paskin directly. So then the Gemara continues tashma. Diyalta aisa dama lekame derava barachana vetamila hader aisi lekame derav Yitzchak derav Yehuda vedachila. And so Yalta brought it before one person and he made it tame, one before and he made it and he said it was tahor. Which, if you remember, this sugya is the main one of the main sugyas in Chacham Echad Shasar Chacham Echad Sheitir. V'amrin tamuye havi mitamila kevin d'amrila d'chol yom matkila ki agav nevinu d'chash beinei hader dachilei. And the Gemara answers that what had happened was he would always mitire it. This day he said it was tamay. She reminded him that in general he's mitire, or she said generally mitire. He realized it was because of something in his eye, so he was mitire. Alma mehem nala. So we see that a woman is believed. The Gemara docha Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda Agamrei Samach. No, Rabbi Yitzchak was relying on his own ability to be seek summon, Pirush Rashi, the Pshita Lay the Tar, so we don't answer the question, the Gemara, whether Nish is Nemenes. Omnam Ramban Bechidushav, Hikshe Echni Sulo Chiach Menasipur, Shalyata Shitane Emenet Filo Chaverta. How did we want to prove from this case that a woman is Nemenes even for others? Either Ilchom Mistavar, the opposite seems to be the case. Dim Kane, the Nemeni Shalomar Kazetier Liponi Chacham, Lutara Filo Chaverta, Lama Vieto Yalta Gwena Rabba. Because if a woman is really na'amenet, then why did Yalith even bring it? Tatar l'nafsha, let her be matired herself. Da'kol yama nami matired la. Because every day she knows that he was matired this color. So v'teira t'aramban, shlosha t'irutzim. So the Ramban gives three answers. One, kosalka da'itin hashta di'i sabad lohem l'nafsha. So either she thought incorrectly that she wasn't believed about her own inami machmir al nafsha, or she was being machmir inami we should quote on shachacham malalu ena robim koman, or because of the kavod of chachamim she wouldn't look at ksamim in their area. So just to chazer, right? We've seen these shitos and rishonim. So far, right? We've talked about the limitations potentially on paskening shadows for yourself, right? So, what are the questions you have to ask? Just remember, right, what questions you have to ask yourself.
Are you qualified?
Are you qualified? And?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Are you nogeya? Right, even if you're qualified, you're nogeya. And the third question is? Third issue? Well, third and fourth, right? The other issues, to bring them all up. Are you qualified? Right? Are you nogeya? Right? Is there an external factor stopping you from paskening? Such as
kavod chachamim,
right? Someone else around who should be getting the shayla, right? And what's the fourth issue, right? The most basic issue is what you're answering halachically a shayla at all? Or is this considered psak, right? Remember, those were the issues you have to deal with. So the Ramban here asserts that what that in his first two answers mi'ikar adin. Can you paskin for yourself, first of all?
Yeah.
Yes. Can a woman paskin for herself?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Very clearly. Right. Right. That's so. In the first two answers, he just either it was a mistake; she could have paskin for herself, she didn't, or she was machmir herself. and the third answer, does it also assume she can paskin for herself? B'derech klal?
Generally, yes.
Yes. Right. So all three answers, first of all, assert that not only can somebody in theory paskin for themselves, but that a woman can paskin for herself. So that's what he's getting out of this. The first two answers assume that even in this case, she could have paskin for herself. Either she didn't because of chomer or a mistake. The last answer highlights that sometimes even if you can paskin for yourself, there are external factors. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So mitoch dvarav ola b'veyur she'im lo hayta yalta ba'al lifnei chachamim v'aday hayta rasha'it lismoch al atzma im hayta b'tucha b'ma she'ora la chacham b'dam kazeh. From here you see clearly that if Yalta hadn't come before the chachamim, she could have relied on herself if she was sure that this is what the chacham had showed her. Now, before we get right further, why would you vaday be able to rely for yourself, right? What's the nimuk seemingly of the Ramban? And the simple read of the Gemara was that, right, really it's not about her paskening at all, but what is it about?
Paskening.
It's not paskening at all. It's the what is she na'amenes about?
Oh, the color. And
yeah, shahor lachacham kamadam azed. If someone else had paskened like this, what is she... Right, if we come back to our question, what is... In what sense is she, quote-unquote, paskening in this circumstance?
That someone else says something.
So what is she paskening on?
Nothing.
Right? What is she doing?
She's like Edu. It's like an Edu.
No.
Like
no. She's weighing in on the realia. Right? She didn't paskin that this color was Tahora. She's determining that it is this color that Poseg X had paskin as Tahora. Right? Right? So the Ramban three answers may relate to Psak in general, but there is another option here, right? And that's, to be fair, the simplest reading the Gemara, that the issue at hand wasn't even about paskening for herself per se. It was that, and if you remember our split, right? If you assume that there is a split between Metzius and Halacha in theory, right? She is, what is she doing? She's just plugging in the reality to some the halachic framework that had been set up, right? So, but it's clear from the Ramban is that she could have made this decision herself. Again, whether you think that's midin psak or because you think determining reality is not psak is not clear, right? But those are all different possibilities. But for a friend, lo ratzta lismoch al atzma min ha'atam shekav the Ramban. But for a friend, she didn't want to paskin. Okay, the kachma first betur urei b'sefer pischei nidal rasal al Ransberg. Adon v'hitlab tiyo chalachon v'firsu gezo v'gval shay lefanav pirushay rishon v'anal v'hu masik d'af d'imar le l'shash v'k kazet tiyo li ploni chacham ne'menet v'lo if shutav v'kaim lo nechumra v'lo isha asmen shikha shav l'chacham v'yichol l'smoch shu kazet. Right, so he quotes Rizal Ransberg, who says that maskana, he thinks that a woman can always paskin for herself, right? And she can rely on herself. But if she came in front of us, right? So now it's in the realm of the chacham. So then the din of the Gemara is: do we believe her once she's come? But what he establishes kedavar pashut is that a woman doesn't have to come for this. Again, either because you're allowed to paskin for yourself, or because this isn't determined, isn't considered psak, but maybe not for other people, right? So again, we see a lot of things we've discussed: the ability of paskin for yourself, cases where it may not even be psak, it might be determined reality, and the distinction in the Ramban, the possibility that at some level you might paskin for yourself more than for someone else, right, that it takes lower standards to paskin for yourself. Okay. And he relied on the Rashba and the Beis Yosef. Because of a Rashba, the time of nation machzik and osa b'mishakeres. We don't assume she's lying because the Torah believed her. Shneamar v'safra la v'amru chachamim v'safra la le'atzma. Right? We say right if. Reuven, if you decide to learn Nida next year, you will learn these very lamedish principles. If you learn it one day, you will. Anyways, but it's fascinating. Right, we believe her, and we don't assume she's making a mistake. But if something comes before us and there's a chazaka that it's tamei, we assume that it's tamei, or we're mesukak, we don't rely on her chach because of a rash b'tar abayit. Kachal the rash b'tar abayit aruch shatam la'achmir who came in the adam lefenein of anus mesupakinbo geich ledan lo itbarer lechon lamekim alei doma af he lo kimla v'todah v'dimin avasarba because he hayah v'einenu. Right, so again, the Rashba says that right, if she doesn't come, so then we believe it. She does come, and now we have to deal with the reality. Right, so if you think again about our split between reality, the realia and the theoretical halacha, so what does the Rashba say? Right, that if she didn't bring it, so is that a problem?
No,
we don't have to weigh in the reality. What if she does bring it? So then we have to paskin on it. Right? Now that's not because we have to paskin reality, but once it's brought into our hands, right, we have to make, right, if you ask the Shaila, so then we have to answer. He assumes the only reason she's not Nemenis at that point, right, fundamentally a woman should be believed, perhaps not because of a chazaka that's Tamei, we assume that it's Tamei, right, fine. Right, so we assume kidavar pashut that she's believed not just for herself but for her friend. And therefore she doesn't even have to say who was Matahir, she's believed. Okay? Okay, so Ad Khan, the first question he needs to deal with is obviously what? Right, if he's answering his yoetzet mutter, so the first question you have to answer is:
can she be relied upon herself?
Yeah, can a woman be relied upon? Can she paskin for at least for herself or for others? And the answer was affirmatively.
Yes.
Right. Again, he hasn't gotten yet to the extent of what she can paskin. It's clear that certain circumstances she can weigh in either on the reality for herself or on the halacha for herself, depending on how you understand this halacha, and maybe even for others, with a possible distinction in the Ramban, maybe lechatchila, right, or a chumrah, she shouldn't paskin for others, but for herself she could. Right, but Ad Khan basically has established that the right, shitos that emerge from the Ramban, Rashba, Ridva, and the Iri, is that she in fact can, at some level, paskin for herself. Okay? So now he says, "Viran din ze pashud hu sheinei she chashuda chas v'shalom she mishakera." It's clear that a woman is not suspect that she's lying. וגם אם היא פתוחה בעצמה שמכירה שדם כזה טהרו, and if she's sure that this blood is tar, גם חברתה יכולה לסמוך עליה. So even her friend can rely on her. דבר זה הוא עולה בבירו מן המשנה והברייתא. And he said, I have another proof. And I don't need this deal about dam. I have even better proof from Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hachareshet v'ashota v'asuma shenitra data. Right? What's common to these to all these people? Hachareshet, shota, and suma. More importantly, shenitra data.
They don't have das.
They don't have das, thank you. Right, they don't have das, and therefore we can't. What? That's not the problem for a suma. Yeah, right. The suma is a different problem. So she can't see the blood because she's blind. That is a practical problem that is insurmountable. At least with current technology, I don't assume that's always going to be true. In Yishlan and Pikot, so if they have somebody who is either can see or doesn't have the who can think, right? Has das. B'taknazan me'nochol b'truma. So they can be mitaking them. What does that mean? Perashi both can have mad bilan osan. They can.
Tar the nida.
Yeah, they can do bedikas for them, right? And they can, and based on that, they can go to the mikvah. The Gemara Shem Amidu bechareish shen medaber min shomara bechareish shen shomara medaber dinik bechol davar tana amar rei bechareish ayta bishkona tenu lo dais shu v'tegel atzmas chare the road v'mar lare and chareishet. It has to be someone who can't talk. Fine. Upeirish Rashi the bikiya b'maradam tamei v'dam tohor areish isha bikiya chavrodeh samchol alea. Habayish Gemara now like the rakal mikreshi v'adam finishes davka inu bo. Right. So he said the fact in this case we say that someone who has das, even the chareishet, assuming she has das, right? She's not a full chareishet. She can paskin for herself and for other people, and that the pikachat can do the bedika and determine that it's okay for her, for the blind person or for the chareish of the shota. It tells you beveirur, even clearer than the previous gemara, that the only problem in the previous gemara was when we now have the dam and we're mesupah. Avam lo ba adam lefaneinu, but if the blood didn't come, v'yishab b'ducha shutahar, and the woman is sure that it's tar, ein lanu estape. Klal konjugam mefarash v'tura v'avheti gosho chanarach. And Ata Hereni Ididi Harav Rabbeinu Mordechai Kohn L'diri Baal Shetak Giburim Olam HaSimanim M'msur Mi Anashim L'vdok HaKtamim V'nim Shepnei Bidika Eina Mekdom HaSirin Al Zef Adi Yishmol Tzachalat. Here in the Shetak Giburim says explicitly that women specifically have the Simanim given to them to check Samim. So until now, right, it seems totally mutter. Now, if you have actually shishar amban avu b'shem ishi samecha atma b'utardi lorot l'chaver v'chaver t'ayichol l'smocha l'ab. So now he says, until now, he's established that fundamentally a woman can pasken. But now, as we said, the third answer of the Ramban, which was, remind me? Kvod chachamim. So what is that, right? And if you remember our question about paskening for yourself, you always have to consider the question fundamentally, can you pasken, and is there external pressures? Right? Yeah? So according to the third answer of the Ramban, a woman might be able to paskin for herself, but she can't
take over for the chacham.
She can't paskin for other people against the chacham. That's the third answer of the Ramban. Right? So now, so far what he has is that he thinks on the fundamental question, can you paskin for yourself?
Yeah.
Yes. Are they qualified at least to do this, either because it's not considered a psak at all, or because they're already trained in it?
Yeah.
Yes. Is there a potential problem to paskin for others?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But not fundamental.
Is it a fundamental problem? No, it's kvodan shel chachamim. But we saw already, right, that's something you have to take into account when you're figuring out, right, your autonomy. Is in psak, your right to make decisions is not only fundamentally can I paskin, but is there some external pressure stopping me? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I told you, he's a very straightforward posek. You can see where he's going with it. It's not like... So now the question he has to answer is, do we paskin though? Hey. Right? Very simple, right? He said the third answer in the Ramban would lead to this potential problem. Now the question is...
Do we pass it?
Yeah. Biram, Yardu Hadaro. And here we get to always the important thing in Psak, which is, okay, now let's bring it down to reality. So now, time has gone on. V'ka'et, לא רק שנשים רואות בזה כבוד חכמים לשאול מהן בענייני דמים, אלא בדיוק ההפך. So now this is very important. So what does he say? What has happened?
People are afraid to ask chachamim.
People are afraid. They don't want to ask chachamim. Right? Before we go farther. So, what did we learn so far from Rabinovich? Right? What does he take as a serious consideration when paskening?
Today.
If you remember our discussion, remember our more broad discussion, what's the value of autonomy? What I say is the most basic reason that we have to value autonomy.
Because it is
different. People ask.
Because people want autonomy. Right? Practically, halacha at some level has to what?
Change.
Has to recognize where the people who are asking the shalos are. Right? So he said, very simply, if women are not comfortable, right, it's no longer kavod chachamim, right? They see it as e-kavod, right? So, right off the bat, he actually makes an interesting move, right? First of all, he makes the obvious move, which, again, if you didn't believe me that this is something that post can actually take into consideration, is the metzius claim, which is people don't want to go to a rabbi with this, and he's willing to take that as a reason to at least examine this again, push farther. But he actually goes farther than that. What does he do? He's willing to take the taina that people want to not ask chachamim as a reason to what?
To pass them the opposite.
Halachically, what's he doing? What does he say he's doing?
That it's not covered anymore.
He's willing to override / reinterpret, really, kavod chachamim, right? He actually, it's not just that he's willing to take it as a factor, right? But if you think about it, what we said, one of the things that affects psak is kavod chachamim, is external, right? You're the respect you're supposed to show to authority. So he makes the interesting claim, the move, which is to say, not only is this something I should take into effect, but what we determine to be the proper way in which people mitachis to poskim is, to at least some extent, halachically affected by how people relate to it. Right? So even if at some point going to a chacham, and then this is a little bit of a chiddush. Right? He claims if at some point going to a chacham with a nida shayla, right, with ksamim, was considered a kavod, if at some point that becomes something that people view as
not kavod,
then that becomes a factor to move the authority away from them. Right? If giving chachamim authority is making people not respect them, right, they technically give them authority, but be karon, right? He's actually doing something very nice, which is, right, I'm not 100% sure it's halachically this is muchrach, but he's making a claim that kavod chachamim means that not just, right, you could have said, what does kavod chachamim mean? Objectively, it is kavod chachamim to ask them shailas. Right, he's making the claim that's not the case. That kavod chachamim is mechayev you to do what?
To show.
To defer to authority in such a way that is interpreted societally as
kavod.
As respectful. But if people are mevazet, and they are, right? Right? Many people are, and I, you know, if you followed, there was no particular reason for this to come up in this discussion, but it did, right? If you follow a lot of the articles about Rabbi Freundel, for some reason, Maros Nida kept coming up, right? That, you know, this is a religion that has men looking at women's underwear, which, when you phrase it that way, is a little bit awkward, right? Now, at some point, this may not have been, you know, something people have a problem with. People do have a problem with it, so he acknowledges that it actually causes bizayon chachamim and not kavod. Now, you might have said, well, you should, you know, teach people that just like they're not ashamed to go to a gynecologist, they shouldn't be afraid to go to a rav, and that's what you'll hear the response, right, is that halacha doesn't always just give in to what people said, but at least Rabinovich is willing to take into account the fact that people don't view it as respectful. It happens to be, you know, maybe some people find it comfortable, right? Like I said, I've done shimush, and shimush, no one's asking me directly, I'm just seeing it. It's still uncomfortable. One of the most uncomfortable things in the world, right?
What, shimush?
Right, learning some.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because you sit there, like, with it, you know. And
joy.
And you're like, what color is this? Is it a gris? Right? How would you look? Make sure that you can see it, because it's even a dot of red. It's really the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
Pay is better.
If anyone ever asks, you know, I'm just hoping that Ora, that Ora feels comfortable enough to answer these, and if someone happens, give it to me, I hope they don't. Right? Baram Yarduat so then he says, Ma'inza Matsina Shikchori Shonim, Lamalo Shada Yalta Balar of Nachman. And now he brings an interesting proof. Right? How do I know that, again, I don't think it's a great proof, but it's an interesting proof, an interesting at least direction, right? Lushonim asked, why didn't Yalta ask her husband? She didn't want to become disgusting in his eyes. Which tells you what? That who you ask, right, is determined by how they're going to react. Okay, I don't know if that's a good writer, but whatever. Biyameinu anu. I think this is more rhetoric than that part. I think is more rhetoric than halachic argument, but it's nice anyways. Biyamim anu harbe anashim einam ponot l'rabanim v'shelov damim nechshash shelov tzidkaneh. Right. So now he says uvda. Right. Many women do not go to rabanim shelov tzidkaneh. V'arbe kilkulim yotzim mizeh. And many problems come because of this. Now, if you remember, Shana, in her article, attested this fact, and many people have attested this fact. Now, I don't want to be motzi laws on people, right? And your inclination is probably wrong on this one. When he says that people don't ask shilas and kama kilkulim yotzim mizeh, what do you think that means?
They have on their tummy.
Right, so you would have thought that it means that, and it might be true sometimes, that people don't ask shilas and therefore do things that are usher. More commonly, what happens?
They don't have B.O. when they're allowed
to? Yeah, exactly. They don't ask shilas and they end up being machmir. Right? Realistically, that's actually what happens usually, is that people end up being machmir, because some people will be makil, but many people are just very frum people, and they won't. They're just really uncomfortable. So, but bein l'kula bein l'chumra, right? And Shana attests to this as well. And I've heard this from many yotzot.
What?
From yotzot, I've heard that it's more machmer, yes. That most women are actually more machmer than themselves.
Is that because the law is more makel than it's perceived, or because
people... No, because they're afraid to ask a shayla, and then they... But they're from people. They don't want to violate Nida, so they... Yeah, and this causes real problems, not just shalom bias problems, but in certain cases, infertility problems. Like, Shana has one story in her article where... Whatever, there's a woman who was being machmer because she was afraid to ask shaylas, and at some point she talked to her and sent her an email a year later... I'll read the paragraph. I contrast this with the story of a young woman today who, through her education, has been empowered to engage the system and look for the proper advice to deal with the challenging circumstances she encounters. She's been calling me frequently with questions about how to navigate her situation. She and her husband could finally conceive after quite a few years of marriage. In each conversation, we discussed the issues at length. I would then speak to opposing and back to her and explain extensively what should be done and why halakhically it was okay. After 2 years of this, I received the following email. Now this is a quote. I have some exciting personal news I wanted to share. My husband and I are having a baby. We're due in a few months and are very excited. We just started telling people and it means so much to me to be able to share this with you personally. I cannot even tell you how critically important our conversations became over the course of the past year. Thank you again for all of your help and guidance throughout the process! ! What? I'm sure it happened already. Bishatava. Yeah. No, a lot of times more machmir, and it's a problem. People don't ask. Now, yes, there are also kulas that obviously people end up being makel, or can I get a lach also? But anyway, so he notes, again, practically, that people don't want to, and therefore they're not asking questions, and therefore he takes that very seriously. And he said, assuming there's no halachic impediment, which he thinks fundamentally there isn't, so we should encourage it. Right? This is Rabbi Navid coming out. If I would have the chutzpah to say, what is, by the way, teach you rabbinic rhetoric here. What does lulei demistafina mean?
I
don't want to say it. Right. Lulei demistafina say, I would say, I'm not saying this, but I would say it. So translate into, I am saying it and it's a chiddush, right? It's, Lule de Mistafina is I have a chiddush. Lufia niyas daiti is I have a big chiddush. Right? You know, you have to just, you know, whatever.
I thought
Lufia niyas daiti is tarasso is you're an idiot. Right? You know, it's whatever. Okay. Not always.
In return, the more adjectives they add to someone, the more they're about to destroy what they say.
Exactly, yeah. The Lule de Mistafina. Hayidi Omer. I'm not saying this, but I am. Shigam lefnim ma'itaka tofakazot. Rachman al Islan. Right? Now he says something de mechudash. I think, now this is already somewhat radical for some people. I don't think it's radical, but sure. What is he saying? Some people would say, right, I said this, that what? Yeah. Right? That, okay, maybe we should worry about autonomy, what people want practically, bashetach. But that doesn't weigh in on whether this is something that should have always existed in halacha. What is he saying?
It should always happen.
No, it always happened. Meaning, he is making a claim not just in the current state, right, is it important to have women involved in the process, but he thinks that fundamentally it always was the case that not having women in the process disengaged other women, right? It alienated them from the process, from the post-skim, and caused problems always, right? That's a much more, he may be right, Matthias, right? But it's a, you know, it's a more radical statement. That's why he said Lulim is Divina, right?
He's weighing in on Matthias, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying, I don't know this is true, but he assumes, right? Now, well, coming back to our right fundamental question again, think about it. He's saying it's not just a b'di'eved. He's thinking that l'chadchila, it should always have been the case that you had a way of getting people more involved or someone to talk to them more comfortable with.
Right. To me, that like, what would happen if normally would be you would for your first couple of years of marriage, you ask a lot of questions to the shaylos, and then after
that happens,
you just normalize to it.
So, oh yeah, that's for sure.
I mean,
true.
Isn't that sort of like what he said? Like, isn't that what he said that eventually once you normalize to it, you know all your halachas and therefore and
oh that's for sure. Time that's for sure. True.
Right?
That
is he saying we just
no? Because some people don't ask the beginning. Okay, you know, look, for example, well, I'll tell you...
We should just jump the gun and make it easier to ask at the beginning because eventually...
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, people ask, you know... we'll get to some examples from Shana, but, you know, which I think are important. But yeah, for that's what should happen, right? That you ask more shadows when you first get married.
I'm saying, like, isn't this just jumping the gun?
It's correct.
Like when you are ready to pass
it. Yeah, because he wants right at the beginning to get people to be asking. And he said, look, in the Gemara, right, was Rabbi Noachadosh covered less than Rabbi Baruch Hanna, and Rabbi was Roa Damim. And then Astama Enoch, you're telling Shimon, Dograod, Lotaisha Bikiara. Why in the Gemara did the women show it to this Isha Bikia, to the Chareshet, right? Shayita Vishkanato. Probably because they were comfortable, right? So he said that there's even precedent, right? That yes, there's a certain level which covered, right? The case of the Chareshet, right? The Gemara in proving who the Chareshet, what a Chareshet is, the Gemara had that case of the Chareshet who could speak, so she wasn't halachically a Chareshet, she was a Bas Das, and she used to paskin for other women. He said, you see, even at the time of Rebbe, or Rebbe Nakadosh, right? Right? They didn't always go to the rabbi. Okay, that obviously is surmountable if people were more comfortable, because in the Gemara, the women were going to this Chareshet. And now he raises another, you know, possibility, which is, okay, right? Right? Even if you had Kavod Chachamim, what obviously solves the problem of Kavod Chachamim? We should, right? So what's he, Telchidei, implying? That you should give rishut. Yeah. Now he brings out the chinuch to establish that, by the way, a woman can paskin, right? Not just that she can, you know, right? So far we've danced around the question of whether what the woman was doing was actually paskining or not. And now he brings in, v'ata reini harav, yedidi harav, yinon chayin. And the rebala chinuch, mitzvah kufnud bet, shalal achna shtuyi yan l'mikdash, v'chayin shalal yora shatui, v'nohe getzer biyat, mikdash, b'shechur, b'man abay, the chinuch, in no uncertain terms, says that a woman is allowed to paskin. And now Yinon Chayin, this guy who showed it to him, is also the oreich. And if you look at footnote 1, he says, Shamati Eidut Mi Chacham Ne'eman, Shayu Mekamot B'teiman, v'hem hayu zkeinot shehayu muchzakot v'kibikiyot v'nyanei marot v'anashim hayu ponot aleihen u'me'olam lo ra'a adam al kach kach gam mekubal hayu b'teiman k'anashim hayu eile sh'asku b'tchumim hayu hein mitzuyot and igor chelev v'ein tarach lomar afiyat matzot. So apparently in Teiman there were women who answered maro shailas and wells kasher shailas and things they were involved in. Okay. So far he's established that a woman can actually paskin, and he's established that even if there's a potential problem with kavod chachamim, so for dual reason, he thinks he should make. One is that there was practically bizman hazeh, people want more, I wouldn't say autonomy, but want more choice in who they ask. Specifically, they don't want to turn to the rabbi necessarily, and he thinks that should be respected. He thinks more than that, fundamentally, this was always a problem, right? That it always should have been lechatchila, that you could get women involved in the process. And third, he thinks that, you know,
it's not such a new, so that's a novel concept.
Right? It's not novel, right? And third, he thinks that even if halakhically there were issues that should be circumvented, he thinks that how would you circumvent them? Rishus. And he's saying if you can solve it with Rishus, so then again, coming back to the first two reasons, he thinks you should give Rishus. Good. And now he gets to the next question, which is
solve it that since a rabbi gives a rishut there.
I mean, if the problem is kavod chachamim, then it can be solved by the chacham giving rishut, right? And he thinks they should give rishut because
all the above reasons.
Again, fine. And now he gets into the next question, as we noted. And even if you think women can't paskin, what do we already know?
They can.
That they can. And even if you think they can, not every shaila is a shaila, right? So that's in his next paragraph. Vinei shnei sugei shailonim. And there are two types of shaila anyways. If it's something which is clear in psak, so then what? Less mandipolik, even if you think that women can't paskin, even though they can, right? Not the point. Even if you thought they couldn't, that's not psak. Right? I remember I once asked Reb Reuven Feinstein whether women could paskin. He said, if she knows the answer, of course she can paskin. Like, people used to ask my mother shailas all the time. They were often simple shailas, like, this was his example. Someone asked my mother, what bracha do you make on pretzels? She said, what's a pretzel? He says, it's a mine mizonos. She said, you make a mizonos. Okay, so, right, there's certain things that are just not shailas. Right, that, there's no controversy. But if you remember, again, we talked about this, that much room is opened in Pesach by recognizing that not every shaila is a shaila, right? Right? You know, call it what you want. The fact that we can say that many shailas are not shailas opens up the possibility for people to possibly themselves in many circumstances. So that is obvious. V'kach gam b'maros, and that same is true of maros. That im bin dubar b'marot shishtama v'hem, chol azahot shuv damar azeh. The same thing is true about marot. If she's already used to identifying it, she can identify it. Now, here he's really weighing on a different issue, which is again, what?
Metzius,
right? If you're sure the Metzius is, you know what halacha applies to this Metzius, you're just determining Metzius, so then, again, that's not Psak, right? So again, we've talked about this, that one of the ways of opening up Psak, right, one way of opening autonomy Psak is allowing people to paskin. The other way is to limit what is defined as Psak. So he said, okay, he's like, I think women can paskin, but let's say they couldn't. Metzius is not Psak, right? So that means if you already know, right, I'm not poskening. I'm just saying that this color, which I've seen many times, you know, whatever posek posken, right? Whatever, in my case, right? I learned Maros from, let's say, Rav Schreiber. So I just say, look, I've seen this exact color. And Rav Schreiber said it was mutter. Now there are other shailas, which are shailas, which are actually alach tzak, which don't appear in svarim. Ukdei lifsok behen sarich shikol adad im lada linyan ploni linyan almoni. And then you need shikol adat to figure out what to compare it to. That's what we call a what? A psak, right? That's what we call psak, right? What we actually call psak in the formal sense of the word is something that requires shikol adat, that requires making a decision. B'sheilo ka'ele, in these questions, sarach yeder rachav, v'kar koch shiput elchati, hanerchash midok isuk v'chol rechve halacha. For this you need broad knowledge, and the ability to assess the shaila and analyze the relevant information. A shaila that is really complicated like that has to go to a Rav Muvhak. Now, Here I will just quote Moreinu Harav Lichtenstein, Harenu Kapar Mishkavo. The Rav Aaron, who was on the record, is supporting Yod Sot. I was once at a rabbinic conference where someone asked Rav Aaron about Yod Sot, and his answer was,
yes.
Yod Sot can paskin on Hilchot Nida, because that's where they're trained on. Not every Nida Shaila is a Nida Shaila. Not that in principle women can't paskin on other things, but if they're not trained to answer Svek Sveka Shailas, then they shouldn't, right? So he's making the same cautionary note, which is he thinks women can paskin, right? He's clear that he thinks women can paskin, even that which is defined as psak. But if a woman, or a man for that matter, right, is only trained in a certain area of halacha, he has to realize, or she has to realize, that not every area of halacha is what you think it is, right? Some kasher shailas are svek sveka shailas, are chazaka shailas, are whatever shailas, right?
But that's true in all areas.
That's true for men or women. But again, that's an important point in when we're thinking about autonomy and sock. Remember, when we talked about what can you paskin for yourself, right? One of the things is to realize that certain shilas are global shilas and don't try to paskin, right? Certain things are local, certain things are not. Then it has to go to a post-seg. But he said, even then, under certain circumstances, it'll be better for the shayla to go to the Rav via, right? The Yoetzet. Why? And we talked about this because she's going to speak to the Yoetzet. Her relationship is better. And again, we talked about...
I mean, just like that when you ask your shul rabbi and he phones up his...
Exactly. Boy. Just like when you call your shul rabbi and he calls a bigger posek. And we've talked about this. When we talk about autonomy and psak, we don't always mean the ability to make the decision. Sometimes we simply mean...
asking.
The ability to choose who you asked, or the ability, or transparency. Right? Sometimes, right, the more, right... You know about the halachic process, the better the answer will be, and it's just a value. So, you know, and that's true both pastorally, right, that, you know, you feel like you're involved, that you're able to talk it out, and halachically, saying if a woman has a better relationship with the U.S. and doesn't want to ask the rabbi, so that's also her choice, right? You should open that option to her. Ulam idach, but there are other cases, but sometimes, right, in order for halacha to come out the best, what needs to happen? She needs to talk. She talks to the rabbi herself. So the sikum shevach gadol rabbanim sheyatzru miskar lemudim liyotzer alacha. Right? It was great that these people created the framework of yotzer alacha v'idrichotam belchor hashichot and trained them in the common alacha v'gam limdu otan lakir dvarim atunim sheilot chacham and taught them to recognize what needs to go to a chacham, and gave them the ability and the permission to paskin for their friends, for others, meaning with derech zu itzlichu liftor harbei bayot and solve many problems. And once they had permission, and once they got permission from their rebbeim, they don't need permission from others. Just like anybody is allowed to paskin with the permission of his rebbeim. Okay,
But the problem is, I mean, let's just set the case where your shul rabbi or your general posting is against you.
Okay. So hold it for 1 second. Let's just summarize the arguments here, and then we'll talk a little bit about the other issues that come up. Right, I don't want it just to be Rabbi Novich. I just wanted to show you how one posting deals with these issues. Okay, so again, if you think about the issues we've talked about during the year, right? At what level we think it's important to bring people into the halachic process, right? So the first thing we said is, even if someone's not answering shaila for themselves, right? It's important that they be able to choose their posek. And here he opens up, not even choose their posek, but choose who's going to bring their psak to the posek or whatever, right? And that he encourages, right? Me'achus, right? And that's one of his reasons for supporting Yotzot. Two, the second question you ask is that we should encourage people, right? That people under certain circumstances can, A, paskin their shailas. Right? When they're posing as shailas, you have to make sure, one, that it's a shaila, right? And something might not be a shaila if, A, you're just being mevar mitziyut, right? So he says many issues in Kesamim don't enter into the problem because it's just a mitziyut question. So that already is out of the sock. Two, it's not a problem if it's Bar or Baposkin, right? So he said, again, there's total room to have Yod Sod or let people Paskin themselves in those two cases, even if you think women can Paskin. Right? Then the next question is, okay, can you Paskin for yourself? So he said, he comes down.
Yes.
Yes, you can. There is an ancillary problem sometimes that you can't Paskin for others if you yourself are not a Posig because of Kavod Chachamim, which he first of all says can be solved in a host of ways. One is
Kavod Chachamim is different today.
Right, one is to say, well, the most basic is if people are not comfortable, then Chachamim should be mochel on their kavod and give rishus. Right, again, he's taking the reality that people want to do it a different way, that want a different law across the different, and to affect what he thinks people should do. He also has a chiddush, which is to say that Kavod Chachamim, right, those limitations that are on the halachic system, based on our obligation to give respect to other people in the halachic system, right, and to poskim, is based on societal norms. And if people don't view that as kavod, then the power should be returned to the people and not given to the chachamim to be a bizayon to them. Though he does highlight at the end, right, that even if they have the ability to poskim, what do you always have to remember when you're poskining?
That you don't know everything.
Yeah, your own limitations in Psak. Right, so I think he covered a lot of the issues, both the pragmatic issues and some and the halachic issues, and you see how he weighs in on these issues in his very, very right unequivocal support of Yotzot Halacha. Okay? Now, Chaim. Chaim raises the obvious question. Okay, but let's, right, before we come to Chaim, just a few more minutes, just from, since we're on the support side, and then we'll go to the other side. Again, just some things. Again, I encourage you to read the whole article by Judah and Shana. But she points out that, first of all, in a practical... What?
Shana's
Yotzot Halacha. Right? That she points out that, first of all, it's important, again, on the practical level, that A, people want more autonomy in Psak, and therefore want to have someone they can talk it out with. Right? Two, she points out that practically people who don't feel comfortable being part of the halachic process are end up either
more machmir.
Being more machmir, and therefore it's better to right to bring them in to make them comfortable so that they're not too machmir, or they're too makel. Right? She brings an example of why it's important to have at least the level of transparency. Right? We talked about the importance of transparency in Psak as one level of autonomy, or simply letting people understand. Of yeshivish couple who she was talking to, where the woman said that basically they wanted to make their own decisions, so they decided that Nida was too hard in its full form, so they decided that they would keep all the harchakot, right, which are the for the most part the dirabanan, or not even dirabanan, sometimes just minhagim that we keep during Nida to prevent people from violating Nida, right, and they were going to trade off for that not being machmir on the mevesto, the days when you have to be poresh from your husband or wife, whatever, in advance of the chazaka of a period, right? And Shana told her, I'm sorry to tell you that that's foolish because the harchakos are derabanan or minhag, and what you did is what you violated is nisur d'araisa, right? The Gemara says nisur d'araisa. And she said it's chaval, the woman was embarrassed because her kala teacher, right, hadn't explained her d'araisa derabanan, hadn't been transparent. So the woman was going to make her own decision anyways, but she ended up making the worst decision because she didn't understand the halakhic process. So Shana makes the argument there that, right, that you know one of the big problems that comes up is if you don't allow for transparency, when people do make the decision themselves, they at least should know what they're doing, right? Because otherwise it's gonna be worse. She also says that it's valuable for people to have autonomy, not because they're gonna postpone themselves, but because having someone who can explain the system to them, they're comfortable talking to, will let them ask better questions, right? Right. Sometimes you don't even know that something is a shaila, so it never comes up. If you have someone you can trust and you feel is bringing you into the system,
also there's more personal details that might affect the psak.
Yeah, and there's more personal details, right? You get the details, right? So again, so just there are a lot of the practical issues that you know people want it makes them feel better about the system, that more details will come out. People will know what to ask. They won't end up with bad kulas or bad chumras. I'll just tell you some of the titles that she has to these. To the sections. They have the section here which highlights some of the issues. Better halachic observance, right? That's one. Fine. Asking better halachic questions. That's another one. Good. What do we call it? Let's see another one. I'm just looking for the bolded parts. Less resentment and confusion. We talked about this. Now, where is this? There's one really good paragraph that's just important. Right, she also highlights that people get less resentment because they realize that even when they're not poskening, that the system is not crazy. I'll read one. Right after a refresher course, she said, someone said to her, the information you taught me in your refresher course was consistent with the kind of answers I've been given to questions I've asked my entire married life, but I never before understood why the answers made sense and how they fit into the bigger system. So again, we talk about one of the values of autonomy, of giving people at least the ability to understand the system, is that
bigger view of it.
Yeah, they have a bigger view. They understand, right? We said at some level it's the same as Tamei Mitzvos, right? Where even if it's not going to change what they do, it changes their relationship to the system, so and that is also valuable. Okay, so this is just a very important paragraph, and then we'll get to Chaim's, right? But now she asks the obvious question, is that Judah and her ask, but what if they're wrong, right? What if, you know, when we give people this autonomy and we give them the transparency, we give them the power to make their own shailas, what's always the danger?
They'll
do it wrong, right? So was the whole push towards autonomy misguided? So here they say as follows, but what if we are still wrong? What if, despite all of our claimed benefits from respect for autonomy, the cumulative adherence to halacha over a lifetime still suffers? So we submit that the goals of halachic living, and education for that matter, are not reducible to the single measure of maximal halachic performance, so to speak. We reject a consequentialist approach to halacha in which practical outcome is the sole value, but rather embrace a pluralistic set of values in which process and overall engagement stand on their own merit. Indeed, exegesis is not the crux, but rather action, right? La midrashu ikar la maaseh. That doesn't mean that the former becomes entirely subservient to the latter. We believe that the halakha is both a rule book and a life force, both an instruction manual and a wondrous world to enter, breathe, and experience, not just for the scholar, for the laypersons as well. And here we don't have in mind the Rav's Platonic description of Torah study, but a less idealized version that deals with the practical parts of Jewish living. Whether one experiences halakhic living as an outsider or an insider, as a blind follower or as an active participant, has enormous spiritual significance that is independent of one's adherence to the technical demands of the law. And they make the claim that even if it were true that maybe they are wrong, that it doesn't lead necessarily to better keeping of Nida, right, they think that part of a Torah lifestyle per se is allowing people, and this is part of what we talked about a few weeks ago in the philosophical right aspect, the notion of claiming for yourself your bailus on Torah is itself an expression of your right, your commitment to Torah, and of your tzelmel hukim, right? Your valachta bedrachav, as it were, for the Rav, right? And that's what they're saying, that at some level, right, if that was the case, then perhaps that's even a value that can be taken into account, even if it runs the risk of some people keeping halacha or local halacha worse. Okay, so I think both their discussions, you see this strong commitment to bringing autonomy back to Pesach, both for pragmatic reasons and for fundamental reasons. And you see that both in, you know, we'd already talked about Judah and Shana's article, but also in Rabinovich, that you see that in how he approaches the Shaila, and it touches a lot of the issues that we dealt with. Now, coming to Chaim's issues. Now, the fact is that despite all of this, right, there are many people who
are anti,
For different reasons. Now, one of the reasons, for example, if Neuberger, who some of you might go to share, is on the record for being opposed to Yotzot, because he thinks that going to Yotzot Halacha, if people go to Yotzot Halacha, it weakens their connection to the Shul Rabbi, right, to their Mar Da'asra. So, what do we do with that argument? So, there are different ways you can go about it, right? I mean, one is to say, some people might just say they don't care, right? But let's say you don't say that, right? Because at some level, it might be, right? So some people say they don't care. Some people say it's not true, right? Because, you know, Yotzo will always tell you that shilas that go to rabbis didn't go down when they enter a community. The number of shilas just goes up, right? You know, Rabbi Adler probably says this a lot, who's a Renat person. No, but you're Renat? Yeah, right, because they pay for the Yotzo for Tinek, despite the fact that other shuls don't support it. They support it with Rehelf Kachul, I think? No. Whatever it was. What?
Not surprising.
Okay. Now, so you can either deny the reality and say no, right? It just leads to more, shilas being asked, and that's a good thing because rabbis aren't getting less. Or you could deny it and say no, people are just as close to the shul rabbi. Or you say that may be true, but, right? And this is really what Rabbi Rabinovich says, right? Which is, what's Rabbi Rabinovich's response to that argument?
They have a shoot, so therefore, like...
Yeah, is that if you value people's autonomy in choosing, right, not poskim themselves, but in choosing the halakhic process, how the halakhic process goes, and the reality is they're not comfortable with this, and this is not how they want to do it, then even if that were true, right, Rabbi Rabinovich makes the claim, you should be mochel on that, right? Again, you're not forcing people... To go to the Yoetzet Dafka, right? But basically, Rabinovich's response to that is whatever, right? They have the right to make that decision. Now, again, even Rabinovich's modeh that when a complicated shaila happens and the Yoetzet herself is not qualified, so if it's possible and that's what the person wants, so let the Yoetzet be the intermediary. But it's not always possible, nor is it always a good idea. Sometimes you don't want an intermediary, in which case, yes, like under those shilas, you really should, you know, be comfortable with it. And yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable, right? I can tell you, nida shilas can be very uncomfortable. But when you have serious shilas, you know, despite the fact that it's uncomfortable, it is important to talk to a posek, and you do get a better answer when you talk to a posek directly, and it does change your relationship to the halachic system. And I'm not saying this as a posek, I'm saying this as a shoel. I don't paskin my own need to shailas. Now, other critiques, obviously, if you think that women can't paskin, so then your answer is either to say, either you argue on that and say they can, or you say that not every shaila is a shaila, not everything is psak. Right, that's one of the things Rabinovich points out, is that, okay, so things which are considered psak, so maybe you oppose, but if it's just a question of psak, then again, remember, there are many things that are quote-unquote psak that are not formally psak, that are not shekel hadas. Again, there are other issues, srara, if you think that's a problem. If you think it's a problem, again, you have to ask whether we possibly like srara and whether this is srara. Again, that's not our issue so much here, though people do raise it. People will raise all types of social issues, slippery slopes, and people will raise many different things. But again, I don't want to go through the whole discussion of why every posek, posham, supports yotzot, is opposed to yotzot, is opposed to yotzot in theory, but poskins for them in practice. And I can put poskim on, everywhere on that list. Again, I wanted to give you one perspective, which I think of a posek supporting it for many of the reasons we've talked about on autonomy, and it highlights tochdei also a lot of the halachic issues we've dealt with. Again, some of the opposition highlights other problems, other issues, right? Like Ray Neuberger, what he's saying is not exactly kavod chachamim, but it's the pastoral importance of having a central rabbinic figure, which again you can value, you can argue that that's a value, and then the question is, is it balanced by other values? Rabbi Neuberger says yes, Rabbi Neuberger says no, and that really is Rabbi Neuberger's right. Rabbi Neuberger is a very serious person. I have tremendous respect for him, even if kamuvan, I don't, I'm a Talmud of Ravaran, and my wife is a Yoetzet. Okay, or will be soon. Right, I can disagree with, not that I'm a Bar Hakhi to disagree, but I can, follow poskim and disagree. Again, look, there are poskim like Rabbi Willig who, like I said, oppose Yotzot, but paskin for Yotzot when he call them. And that's also a middle position, right? Where at some level, okay, this is not ideally how he wanted it to go around, but some people will not talk to them, and Ray Willig will say, look, this is the reality. They're getting the questions, and they're coming to me, so I will answer them because, right, even if l'chadchila I wouldn't give into it, if this is what people are doing, I'm not going to, you know, punish them. You know, I'm going to answer the shaila, right? That's another perspective, is to take a middle ground. Okay, so anyway, so I think just, you know, thinking about this question about Sod HaLacha and why it was created, and the halachic arguments for and against, right, highlights a lot of the issues, the value of autonomy on fundamental and practical levels, the question of what's considered a psak and not, right, all comes up till today when you figure out what is the authority given to them. And again, you know, questions like that which Judah and Shana put on the table, right? Is it, do we actually view autonomy as a lechatchila per se? They do, and that's part of the reason, one of the reasons they support it. If you don't, then you might come out differently. And that's why I think, you know, in issues that become sort of heated communal issues, again, it's a lot of these meta issues coming to the fore, not just, you know, we talked about this, someone asked me about what's going on in LA, right? Again, a lot of times it's also meta issues which touch on a lot of the issues we've talked about. And I hope, again, that the issues we talk about give language to talk about it intelligently with Makaros. Okay, and now we've exposed you to another postake that perhaps you haven't read his Tshuvos carefully, you know. I don't know, I've exposed you to what? You know, Rabbi Rabinovich, Tokhilei, we've talked a little bit of Henkin today. I don't know, I feel with me, especially for 2 years, I hope you have a feeling for some postcard. What? Yeah, right. Seder, Teif.